sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Praise God. Good morning. Jesus, the Son of God, testimony by his disciples and apostles. First, we talked about in the last sermon concerning the testimony of John the Baptist that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Second, the testimony or the revelation from the prophet Moses. Also, the prophecies concerning Christ, Jesus is Christ, from the book of Isaiah, the great prophet. Now, we'll talk about the apostles. The major apostles, here we have given the testimony concerning Jesus, all of them, but here mainly Peter and John and the apostle Paul. Here Matthew in his gospel, he writes that Jesus were on the road, was healing the sick, casting out demons, as per Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But how about you? He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." You see, it takes faith plus the divine revelation. The Holy Spirit from Father revealed it to Peter and his fellow disciples that Jesus Christ is Christ, Christos, or the Son of God. Peter here is speaking for all. He is the major, the main speaker here. He's always in the front. Some calls him, he jumps ahead too fast. Well, Peter did have a weakness like that, but he was anxious. He was also very loving towards what he wanted to do. He had a passion for Jesus. He had a passion to do things for Christ. So Peter confessed the deep down faith God gave him that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Christ, the one Moses wrote about, the forefathers waited upon, and the entire Israel's hope and the hope of the world, the Christ of God. The faith in Peter and confession changed him from Simon to Peter. Now we know Peter was not his real name. He was Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus said, "I will tell you that you are Peter." In Aramaic word, Cephas, Peter is Cephas, and Greek is Petros. The name Peter means rock or stone, as in Gospel of John 1:42, given to him by Jesus, the name Peter, or a piece of rock. The name Peter is in Greek is Petros, but the word rock is Petra in Greek. So we have two words, one is Petros, one is Petra. Those terms may sound similar to us, But ancient Greek literature shows that they actually refer to two different things. Petros was used to signify a small stone. Petra, by the contrast, referred to bedrock or a large foundation boulder. If you read about the reference to this in Matthew 7:24-25, Jesus says, "I say to you that you are a small stone. You are Peter. You are Petros." And then Jesus said, "Build my church." Church is the body of Christ. Jesus referred to his body. And in this rock, or in this Petra, I will build my church. And if you go to the reference to Psalms 118:22-23, we can see the reference to this particular thing. Now, let us go to the second confession of Peter of Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, amen, there Peter writes, "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty," concerning writing about Jesus, "for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" Peter writes, "We, Peter, John, and James, ourselves, heard this voice that came from heaven," amen, when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Peter here referring to the glorious transfiguration of Jesus Christ on the mountain, when Jesus took them there. Praise the Lord. Peter, James, and John were taken to the mountain by Jesus Christ. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them to high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and the clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good to us for us to be here. For you wish, I will build 3 shelters for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Him I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said, 'don't be afraid.' When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus." See, the Lord has taken his close apostles, Peter, James, and John, and we just read that he went up to the mountain just to discuss with Moses and Elijah. I mean, in another gospel we read that, hallelujah, that Moses and Elijah came to discuss with Jesus about his suffering on the cross and about his death and resurrection. Amen. So here we see Peter is testifying, amen, that he saw his glorious majesty. And he heard the Father's voice that he was well pleased in him and here to him. Peter's message was based on his eyewitness account of the supernatural events that marked the life of Jesus. Everything Jesus has conducted and done was supernatural. The divine power in him, the birth, he took a very lowly birth in the human form. And he has shown his humbleness and humility. And he's shown in his life the power of God as Father was working through him, right? As I mentioned earlier in Mark 12, 1 to 11 and Psalms, it says, the stone which builders rejected has become the cornerstone or the bedrock. Jesus said, I will build my church on this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail. Further study shows church is the body of Christ. The people of Israel rejected the one who rejected him, that he will not be used to build the church. Praise God. They were rejected him. Their church or the Old Testament law and build with church of Old Testament, amen. The church of Old Testament will have been built by Christ. They must have placed him as the cornerstone. According to, supposedly, they were supposed to accept him as Messiah. But they missed it. They misunderstood him. He misunderstood the prophecies. They did not get all of the prophecies concerning Messiah. Messiah expectedly coming like a king to rule, to defeat the enemies and destroy all the enemies of Israel. Exactly, that's how he comes at the last time and the second time when he comes, which I mean the second time when he lands on the earth. I'm not talking about when he comes second time to receive his saints. He comes in the midair, but he will come again after the 7 years of that event of rapture. After the 7 years of the event of rapture, he will come back with thousands upon thousands of angels and the saints of heaven, of God who went up to with him in heaven. They will return to rescue the Israelite nation. Those who waiting, the remnant, those who really accept him at the last minute will be saved. Praise God. Christ transfiguration that the disciples have seen his glorious presence. See, as soon as the cloud came and said to him, this is my beloved son, amen, said, here, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. As he heard that, the cloud came like a thundering voice, probably was the Father's voice. And as soon as they heard, they hit the face down, ground. They hit the ground face down. They were terrified. And as Jesus comes and touches them, they rise up and they don't see no Moses. They don't see Elijah. Praise the Lord. So this was one of the greatest experience of a glorious Son of God has been revealed to Peter, James, and John. So they testify about it. It's mentioned in 2 Peter verse 2 to 3, Christ's transfiguration. the disciples received a foretaste of what his coming will be like when he returns. Now, Peter, James, and John know how Christ in reality look like, his glorified body, his glorification, and he show him a taste of it. He will be back to return for his eternal kingdom. He will be sitting on the throne of David. I mean, eyewitness of his majesty, a reference to Christ's transfiguration. Next, I like to discuss John the Apostle's testimony. Here we saw Peter's testimony from his epistle. Now we have John the Apostle, brother of James. In John's epistle, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, he talks about the word of life, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. Amen. See, this is a personal experience of a man who was alive, who had flesh and blood, and he is talking and he is experiencing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. His work, his birth, his experiences, or the performance he has done was not to show anything that he is a performer, but he must do the Father's will. He showed them the humility of life's humbleness. How a humility of life. Amen. And the Jesus was a perfect example. Amen. None of us can meet that standard, but we must work towards to be as humble as Jesus was, as strong his relationship with the Father God was, that we all need to get to that level. The relationship is built with the Father God through Jesus Christ. Our faith has to increase. We must have the revelation of Jesus Christ. We must have the revelation of the Word of God, that Word who became flesh. Amen. Here, that concerning the Word of life, the life which was in him, in that was given to the world. Praise God. This is from the beginning. He was creating the world with the life which was in him. The life appeared. We have seen it, testified it to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. See, Christ, he is life. In him is eternal life. He is the soul, complete source of life and eternity. Hallelujah. The Father, he lives in the Father, and Father lives in him. Amen. He is God, therefore. Amen. And he bring eternal life to us. And he gives. This is a miracle. See, life, God given life to our spiritual life, our spirit who lives forever and ever with God in eternity. From the moment we accepted Jesus Christ, that life which is continued to live in us and our spirit will live. Now, I heard Dr. David Jeremiah earlier today, and many times I hear he was talking about the living Christ, the eternal life, Christ, that nothingness we can fill by our nothingness by Christ in us. That Mary went to the tomb and she don't see nothing. It's empty. So the emptiness of our life, we can be fulfilled by filled with Christ. Christ is life. Christ is eternity. And we are given eternity by faith. It is believe in his name, you will receive eternal life. Also, we hear that Jesus says, if you believe in me, even though you die, I will raise you at the last day. We will be resurrected the same way that Christ was resurrected from the dead. When he resurrected from the dead body of him, his covering, that linen cloth which was covering him, praise the Lord, except his neck and his head, and there was a little cap type of thing from the linen has covering his head, and the body was covered by linen, praise the Lord. And they had so many spices of different spices, amen, myrrh and other spices. They had filled this around his covering of the linen inside, amen, hallelujah. And they were not completely able to embalm him in a way they wanted in the, according to the Jewish custom. That is the reason the two women got early morning, get ready, and they had to go to the tomb and complete the process, which they have not been able to do because of that time limitation on the day before the Sabbath. They got to get it done. They couldn't do anything on Sabbath. So they wanted to get him buried very quickly. Joseph of Arimathea, hallelujah, coming down. I mean, I believe John the Apostle was there, and all the other Mary, there were five of them, Mary, different names, Marys, all of them were there. I mean, I will count about 7 to 8 people maximum. And Jesus was buried. And his burial cloth was there, exactly the same way it was left there. And one gospel says it was folded and kept at the edge of the tomb where he was lying. Amen. So Christ raised from dead. Amen. The glorious Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is living forever and ever and ever. He will be returning to give us that complete eternal life to our body as well. So we will receive a new body. We will resurrect from the dead if we die. But if we live, our body will be transformed. Yes. Like his body. Amen. So here John writes, our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, and Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Can you imagine? This is the man very close to Jesus who lived, Peter, James, and John, and all the other apostles. I'm not saying they were too far from these three, but these three were the closest, very important, considered by Jesus in giving directions and important time. Jesus took them with him. Amen. And they are talking about what they experienced, what they touched, what they seen, what they have experienced in their life. Amen. Nobody can challenge a person's experience. No one can challenge. No one can challenge a person's testimony. Here we have testimony after testimony about Jesus Christ, who is alive, is the living God. Amen. John also says that we are writing this to make our joy complete. They are rejoicing when they're writing about the reality, the truth of what happened. The truth lives. The truth is life, eternal. And he says in his gospel, when we go to his gospel, in the first chapter of John's gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. Through him were made by him. Everything was made, and nothing was made which was not made without him. So we see that in him was life, praise the Lord, in him was life, and the true light in verse 9 that gives light to the every man was coming into the world. This light was coming into the world. So now someone say, how was that coming? Yes, well, God was speaking through his word, through the prophets, from time and time. He always have been talking to his people. and he was talking to the world. And this light, which was coming down through the scripture, through the word, which was Jesus Christ himself. He was being spoken. His word was coming down like as it was supposed to be coming down, and the word was coming down. He was in the world. The world was made through him. Made through him. And the world did not recognize him. See, this is the problem we have. God, they say God has no son. God has no son. They say that they cannot believe that God has son. How? God is a Trinity. Amen. In the Hebrew word Elohim, through it is a plural, it is referred as a singularity in the Torah because God is one. So in the Aramaic word it is Memra, and in the Greek it is Logos. Now the singular word in for God is Eloah. Eloah. Now Elohim is plural, which means there's more than one person in Yahweh, which is Elohim. I will continue this message in the next portion of the continuation. The witness about Jesus Christ will be continuing in the next message. And the Lord richly bless you with these words. Amen.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKO, V like Victor, at gmail.com. That is PR dot CHACKOV at gmail.com.
Death was not the end. You sent love to win, and hope was never lost. The price was paid at the cross, and darkness stood no chance against your mighty hand. So here I stand, remain, and I will praise your mighty name. I will praise your mighty name. When I'm knocked down, I'll run to the cross. And Father, I know you paid the cost. You said it's done, and love finally won. Here I am, Jesus, I run to the cross. Here I am, Jesus, I run to the cross. The world cannot compare to the love you share. This heart that's been made new, Father, let it be for you.